the main room. My name is Ian Cameron, and I'm the Vice President of Digital Media Expert System. I'd like to introduce one of our clients, Rachel Casale. Rachel is Senior Manager Corporate for Content Governance and Digital Publishing at Rogers Media. I'd also like to point out that we have Christophe Aubry, who's our COO over here, and we have Mona Pounda, who's our Director of Pre-Sales Engineering. Just to sort of put this in context a little bit, in Canada, they went through media conversions in about 1998. The main reason being that there was a fear in Canada that the U.S. media would take over a lot of the media outlets within Canada. And as a result, what happened is that all the traditional forms of media, so publishing, broadcast, audio, digital, all merged into four companies. And so now you have four sort of converged media companies in Canada. Rogers Media is the biggest one, and Rachel's going to talk us through the journey about what she went through in terms of our talk, which is the incredible journey. So I'm not going to tell you about the dogs and cats. I'm sorry, I blocked the doors. If you really want to know about the dogs and cats, I'm not going to do it. But Rachel's going to talk a little bit about that. So it's kind of going to be an interview style, so I'm going to ask her questions, and she's going to go from there. But I also would encourage you to ask questions straight if you have any questions. So Rachel, maybe you could just start off with a bit, tell us about yourself, what you do, and how this project started.
Sure. So my role at Rogers is content governance. So I wear two hats. We are building a metadata repository as part of our supply chain with a larger media organization. But today we're going to focus on some of the stuff that I do in digital and publishing around AI, cognitive services, and semantic enrichment of your content in order to make it more searchable, and all of the things that we were talking about today, just in terms of workflow and automating a lot of these processes that we often have a lot of problems with. And in Canada, our budgets are pretty small, so we need to automate as much as possible because we don't have those kinds of resources. And Rogers, just so you know, we have a broad spectrum, kind of to Ian's point that we were talking about before. We have over 50 radio stations, multiple television stations. We have multiple magazine brands, and we have a huge digital presence in Canada. So our reach into the Canadian market is about 95%, which is pretty broad. There aren't a lot of competitors for us in that marketplace. So that's sort of what we do. And if you like baseball, we own the Blue Jays. Go ahead.
Are you ready to rock?
Yeah.
We're already
rolling. We're already rolling. All right, I'm shutting the door. Sorry, let me interrupt.
No worries.
So, can you talk a little bit about what Ian Rogers embarked on this trip?
Sure. So, again, like I said, I'm going to focus a little bit on digital publishing, but this use case applies to anywhere in media, and I'll talk a little bit about it later on about how it rolls up into the larger media landscape for us. But we had just gotten a digital asset management system. We have MAMS, and our digital asset management system was meant to hold our light media assets. So we had a lot of video that was for digital consumption. We had magazine content. We had magazines going back to 1905 that we needed to put into our repository. So we stood up our DM, and we have all this content. And now, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to find it? Because you have journalists and media people who are trying to leverage all this content. It might be sitting in a dam, but we didn't have any real meta to enrich that experience, to do these repurposing and repackaging monetization deals that we talk about so much. So what did we do with that? So we kind of went into the marketplace and found Expert System. And we embarked on our journey, so we started looking at how semantic tagging, owning a thesaurus, would really enrich that. We have, as I said, multiple brands, and they were really siloed. They were siloed in their area, so now we've sort of knocked those walls down to allow sharing to be really part of the mandate for us. And so that was really the impetus for us to start that journey. Fostering this sharing and getting content into one centralized place has really been a focus and a goal for us for the last bit.
Yeah, I mean, and Rachel, when we started this conversation, there was a lot of people involved in manual tagging.
Absolutely, and the thing about Expert Systems, software that we have found to be really beneficial for us is, you know, a lot of people in the industry have these big budgets, and they talk about, you know, having a linguist, having a librarian, having all of these people, and we don't often have the budgets for this. So when we plug this piece of software into our digital asset management system, and I will show you a little bit later precisely what we did, there were two of us. We stood this software up. We had two internal people. That was myself and one of my staff, and we integrated this piece of software. We built out a thesaurus, and so we also have much more control now over that in terms of consistency and tagging. So I'm going to skip through this. I'm going to show you this. I know you can't really see the detail, but I do want to kind of just talk about a bit about ease of use. So it took us about 2 months, two people, to develop a thesaurus. And when we're talking about all the brands I'm talking about, we're talking about a parenting pillar, a sports pillar, we own Sportsnet. We have lifestyle, and we have entertainment, so Hello Magazine and a number of other brands. So we needed to talk in a pretty broad scope about the kind of content we were publishing, the subject matter of our content. And so you can see here, this is Expert Systems' tool called Luxit, and we built a thesaurus. It's a pretty easy-to-use web interface, and we took two thesauruses. We took Thesauri, we took the Library and Archives from Canada, and we took, and now I'm forgetting, one of the major newspapers in the U.S. They publish a lot, so we took these two thesauruses and put them together. And the beauty of this system is, and again, I'll show you a little bit more detail later, but when you run content through it, it will automate the process of tagging your content. And for the end user, this is really useful because it does something that we have never seen before. It will give you a term, and then it will give you alternate labels. So for example, if I'm looking for content that has to do with style, but somebody else refers to style as fashion, how are you making sure that all that content is surfacing up to the top? And one of the things that this platform does for us is it allows us to give it alternate labels. So it's both however the person who's searching for it is thinking about searching for it, and then capturing all that, all those other alternative labels. Yes?
And just to be clear, because you're working in so much different kinds of media,
yeah.
What percentage video versus contextual content and still photos? I mean, what's the balance that this is managing?
This is managing most of our journalistic content on the publishing side, but you can apply this to image content if you have descriptive information in your meta. You can apply this to transcripts for video so that, you know, you can pair the two together in whatever systems you're using to manage that kind of content so that it is more searchable. So it can be applied kind of across the board. The balance of our content is broad, and I'd say probably video is the thing that we produce across media the most, but magazine content is huge for us too. And then I'm going to show you.
Well, yeah, I guess Rachel, I think the point Rachel was trying to talk about is the fact that using this tool makes your content, makes it content agnostic, so it doesn't matter whether it's video or text or photos or audio or graphics. Has the ability to read anything textual metadata in terms of across all of your different formats.
The other function that we found to be really useful in this tool was when you run content through it, you can see that I have a number of pieces of article content here, and I have clicked on one of them, and the second column there gives you a score. So it tells you, if I'm searching for this kind of article, it will score these other ones to tell you how related other content is. For us, especially in magazine content, but also in video content as well, if I want to understand how much I'm publishing about, you know, Justin Trudeau, I'm Canadian, I'm going to go there, this is a really useful tool if something big in the news happens or if you want to go back and look and package content and understand what kinds of subjects your content creators are.
This is more of a dynamic tool, Rachel, because yeah. You know, as news changes or as subject matter changes, it allows for the update and change of those taxonomies or ontologies that you're using on as things happen.
Exactly. So So then the next little bit I want to show you is, again, I told you that we stood up a dam, and we needed to integrate the dam with the Luxiv expert system platform. We don't want our editors or content creators tinkering in the back end with a taxonomy. That's not their job. Their job is to go and create content. So this, the Luxiv platform for us is managed by a few people internally. We consider it to be under the hood. And so what we did was we seamlessly integrated to make an automated workflow so that, you know, the content creators can put content inside the repository. They don't see all the other things that happen. So this is just a preview of what Adobe Experience Manager looks like, which is our DAM, and just, you know, an example of a magazine article. It's in XML format. That's very common in the media industry, whether you're talking about videos and sidecar files and XML. Those are all very common pieces of content that you can work with to enhance. And then, so this is what a magazine article looks like. This is our very first iteration, but basically you can see now that we've got a magazine article. We're showing some of the key meta on it. We have all the thesaurus terms that relate to the body of this article, and then we have all of the entities that show up. And this is really handy. This, the entities are really good because you can apply it to country, city, company, person, place, and so you can really start to draw lines between content, and it can be a very powerful tool.
Yeah, and it picks up on, and not necessarily using this tool, but the actual natural language processing layer that you use that accompanies this, picks up on emotion, picks up on sentiment, can help you with that sort of...
Exactly. So it's not just a basic tag word that's going into your content, it's also picking up on more nuanced contexts of what it is you're publishing. So that's sort of a little bit how we did that. Now, people talk a lot about APIs and integration, and that's exactly the approach we took. We don't want to start customizing platforms too much, because when you upgrade, you might lose that customization over time. So what you want to focus on is your connector. Build your connector between your services and get some elegance in there. I was saying earlier that this rolls up into our broader media organization, and we're working on a really large project right now to build a metadata repository as part of our content supply chain, and it's exactly these kinds of enhancement services that are going to help us build, you know, federated search layers, so, you know, you're flattening your organization, everybody has access to your content, and they can use, you know, semantic enrichment tools or cognitive computing tools to find any kind of content produced in any kind of content door across your organization.
Right, and I think that there is an important two issues. Last night you were telling us that, you know, Rogers Communications as a whole made the corporate decision to break down all the internal silos.
Yes.
That's it. No more silos, no more text over here, no more video over there, no more photos over here. It was complete, that's it, no more.
Exactly, and we have like really great examples of that. We have radio stations working with our fashion magazines. We have, you know, our broadcast television that focuses on lifestyle, working with our other lifestyle publications to create apps for recipe content, which is really valuable in the market, and you can really leverage and package content really well. So those are some of the use cases that we've been able to use and to leverage based on this.
So far to date, you know, what's it done for Rogers, and you know, what's the impact been to the business?
So the impact to the business has really cut down time for finding content. I would say where we are in our journey, sort of in relation to your question, it's baby steps for us. We're really embarking on the idea that we want to automate, that we want to create services that allow people to access the content and get it out of the repositories much more easily. So this was a giant first step, and actually the digital and publishing area, which is one of my focuses, this was a breeding ground. We showed this to our VP Innovation at Rogers Media, and his eyes lit up. And so now we're embarking on this path where we really are truly completely rebuilding our whole media operation from the ground up, and it will be a 5-year project. And this will be, these kinds of services are going to be really key. You know, metadata, as we all know, is crucial to the business. It's crucial to automating processes and workflows. And, you know, the more you focus on using technology like this and building it into your stack, the more elegant the solution is going to be.
Okay. I mean, and also I think, you know, in other meetings we've had, you know, you talked about how the fact that it's a completely automated process. So.
Yeah, this is a completely automated process. We worked with a consultant who helped us build our API. So Expert System has a very well-documented API. And if you are going out into the marketplace and you want to incorporate these microservices as part of your content supply chain or part of your automated workflows, do your due diligence and make sure those APIs are robust. We work with a third party called T4G. They're based out of Canada, and they are huge technology experts, and it's a very big focus for them. You know, we don't claim to know everything, and sometimes you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what questions to ask. You don't necessarily know where to ask, and so if you have trust with a third party or a business partner that can help you down the road, and it's very beneficial to us. Yeah.
Does this process have any implications for the mobile side of Rogers business or the cable TV side?
No implications, only that for the broadcast side, it's not touching it quite yet, but when we do our media infrastructure reorg, it definitely will. This will be very much embedded in part of the process.
I mean, I think you were saying the other day that this five-year plan will actually be one large content bit that is format agnostic.
Yes.
So that this process, this thesaurus and taxonomy that you built will be able to go across all.
Yeah, we have consistency with this now within digital and publishing, but we want to grow this across the rest of media, absolutely. We want controlled ways of describing our content. And I think the next big step for us is, this has sort of been a project, you know, we forget to talk about this a lot. We want these technologies, we put them into place, but we forget how much cleanup we have to do internally before we can even start making this something that's front-facing to the customer. So for us, we've done this great house cleaning process, and we still have a ways to go to touch all the content we produce. But our next step is to start getting this front-facing. Front-facing on our digital sites, we have 200 sites that we support across media, and you know, making the user experience better by leveraging this way of searching for content. We have organizations in Canada, like the CBC, who have already instigated this kind of thing. So, and I know many, you know, news or media sites across the U.S. do this too. So you've got a reader on a site. You've published a piece of content, whether it's a video, audio, or article, and you know, you can immediately tell them, in order to keep their attention, immediately tell them, oh, and we published these six other things about this similar subject, so you can, you know, keep your customers on your sites longer.
So how did you convert or tag all of your legacy assets?
All of our legacy assets, and there are many, we started with our article content because it was the easiest to push into Luxit. We made sure that we started building standards for our content, and we made sure that we took, for more visual content, we started using, again, text-based. So descriptive meta of an asset or a transcript of an asset. And that's how we started tackling our legacy.
So is the tagging done automatically?
Yeah, you drop it into the repository.
By reading just
through the text. Yeah.
So you didn't migrate any legacy tags?
No, because that, we don't have resources to do that. I mean, if we can translate it into something that Expert System can read, then we're just going to do that. If there were previous tags on it, then, you know, I think there have been instances where we sort of save that off and sort of put it in a little silo over here. If you want to see the history of what this tagging was, then fine, it's there, but this is what you pay attention to.
And I think outside of what Rachel says, I mean, we can take in those tags. It's not like you have to wave them all at
No.
you can take them in if you want.
And the tax rate part inconsistently, if you're bringing in a bunch of different legacy sources.
Yeah, you have to do an inventory of how you historically or traditionally.
Well, you have to map them all, right?
Yeah, you have to do, yeah, exactly. You have to map them all, and that might be a very tricky prospect. But again, I mean, even if you have legacy tags in there, just to read it and apply new tags, you can just have a look at the accuracy of that. We've never tested it.
And are you seeing more engagement internally within Rogers?
Yeah, so this is a really good thing. So one of the benefits of this is now that we sort of have this tagging system and people can find content, it was one of the sort of cornerstones of getting adoption into our DAM. And the next step to that is now that you have people in the environment, you have them inside of your repository, which is the space you want them in for internal purposes, because you can track that. We see what people download, we can track who's downloading what, we can see the content trends. And one of the things we've just done is found somebody who went to King's College and actually has a digital asset management degree, which is a unicorn for us. I've never even seen one before. But we found him and we hired him. So, one of his tasks is really going to be looking at what are people, what are journalists, what are content creators looking at inside a repository to start pulling out and curating proactively if we can. So we're starting to look at that.
And for your storytellers, has there been an effect on your storytellers and your content creators?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, we have a magazine that dates back to 1905. It's called McLean's Magazine, and it tells the story of our Canadian history. And being able to now search through the content and repurpose it has been hugely beneficial. McLean's might have published something about Gordie Howe many, many years ago, but Sportsnet might want to repurpose that down the line. So that kind of sharing and interaction is happening now across the organization.
So what would you say the next step is?
I think the next step, like I said, is to look at things that are more front-facing and to roll this up into the broader media and add this as, others, as part of some of the other suites that we can add to help leverage our content, help find our content, and find ways to monetize. I mean, we're working internally now to clean up house and get this sort of adoption, but, the next step is really to start being able to track the monetization.
Sure. I think just sort of as a side, this is Rogers is one use case of many that we deal with at Expert System. Predominantly, we've been focused in the publishing vertical, oil and gas, government, like that kind of thing. Hollywood is relatively new to us, entertainment is relatively new, but I've been coming here now for 3 years. It's taken some time, but we're already engaged in 3 POCs in the Hollywood area. So those kinds of things are encouraging to us because it means that the software that we built has the ability to be used across verticals within the media industry. And so those are all good things for us. Rogers just happens to be one of our clients. We have others in at CBC who are using our software. So it's great that Rich came down and spent some time with us to talk to you about what they've done at Rogers, but I'm a sales guy, I'm going to tell you we can do anything. The bottom line is, you got to give us the content, put us into a POC phase, and we'll show you what we can do. I'm not going to tell you that we're perfect, but we're going to work with you to make it happen. And we work with Rachel and our colleagues quite extensively in order to make this work for them.
Yeah, and Expert System has a lot of very, very, very smart people that work for them. So, there was never a phase where we were standing this solution up where we felt like we were alone. I'm not a linguist. I don't have my PhD in computational linguistics. Putting a thesaurus together was a really daunting task. But we worked with all of those PhDs in linguistics to really, get our foundation and get a very good base down. And now, it's a matter of tweaking it. Nothing's ever going to be a set it and forget it. So, that's, a fallacy in this kind of industry. It's always work. It's always a journey. It's never going to end. But, when you get good systems in place that talk to each other and that, help automate and streamline workflows, you're left in the background tweaking. You're not always heavy lifting because there's going to be something else heavy that you have to lift.
Well, I want to leave time.
bit more about this thesaurus, how it's kind of used, and then how you QA it now?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time QAing it. So the thesaurus, like I said, it was two thesaurus we put together. We needed one that talked about all the breadth of content that we publish from parenting to sports. And then we needed something that talked about the Canadian perspective, because obviously that's the content we're publishing. So we had to go through a process where we put the two together. We looked at all of it, reduced duplication where there needed to be, added what we needed when we needed to add. We worked with a couple of people in the editorial teams. Fundamentally, it's sort of their taxonomy and their thesaurus, and we needed to have input on that piece of it as well. And then once we had that part done, then we went through a pretty extensive QA process, which is all part of and well ingrained into standing this up. The QA, there is a tool that Expert System provides you, and you go in and you start training it. So you're sucking in large amounts of content into this, and then you start going through accuracy tests, and you start saying, this is correct, this is not, this is correct, this is not. So you start training. This is where the cognitive computing, the AI piece comes in, and you start, once you do that training process, then, you know, it will tell you levels of accuracy that you have.
So part of my identity, so look, I'm searching for something, and I use a word that is, so this is sort of what's here, it'll bring up this article, for example, with me.
Yeah.
So that's the point, to kind of be able to cast a wider net, to bend up on it. So how long would you QA, how long did that QA last?
The QA took probably about a good month and a half to 2 months, oh, just because we, yeah, it wasn't bad. Like I said, there's two of us. We were pretty dedicated to this project. I mean, if you're doing it off the side of your desk, that's probably going to take a little bit longer. But that's how long it took us.
Yeah. Hi. Talk to me about the POC, what's the duration? What do you need from us, from the client, and what do you get in the end?
Well, I mean, first of all, in order to establish a POC, we need to understand the use case and business case. So what is it that you want to accomplish? Then the next thing we do is we work through a statement of work, and then the next thing we need from you is some sample data. So depending upon what the project is, will be dependent on, you know, I mean, do we need 500 documents or do we need 500,000 documents? I mean, it really depends on the scope of the POC. And then we, through the statement of work, after analyzing the use case and analyzing what it is you want to accomplish, then we'll assign a time frame to it. I mean, Ramona works very closely with me in the pre-sales area, and she does the majority of the POCs in the vertical that I work. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know that I can say, for 500 documents, it takes 1 month, because that's not a valid way of saying it. We need to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish, and then give you a statement, then work through the statement of work and say, this is what we can deliver. But one of the things that we work very closely with our clients on is we make sure that we're going to go into a POC phase, that we're not going to work on a content set that's a waste of effort. In other words, we're going to finish that and almost use it as the pilot to lead to the next phase, which is, okay, fine, we've done all this work for this particular subgroup within this particular area. We want to roll that into the next area, which is hopefully the license of the contract.
We spoke a little bit about my project when we do Paramount. So what's the average duration of your guys' POC projects? What's the output?
A month, 3 months?
It ranges from 10 to 40 days, depends on the scope again. Depends on the deliverables, like if you have a system to which you want to connect, like if you want to use Celerity after you use your REST APIs to plug our system into your system, that can give you longer. It's something which is more like, no, we just want you to enrich the data and provide enrich XML and then we have to do integration, it can take less. I would say that it's not dependent on the volume, it's so much dependent on the strategies that we have to track the content. It's also important to do a quality assessment phase, because you can deliver data after QC, but if you cannot use it or if you cannot measure it, so it's better to 40% and then back to 70% and in the real life project we're gonna get to 85, and then from 85 to 95 it's gonna be a lot of Well, I don't think that, I mean, we're not going to be arrogant about that. I think it's very unlikely that it gets to 99.99. And even if you take, you know, humans, you put them together to manually, you know, track the content, you're going to find a difference. So we would say that our precision experts are in the 90s.
Just a quick question. What good concepts do you have to involve in the structure of the being? Cloud or Redis, obviously there's some integration points if you want to have it.
I think there's a full flexibility from my understanding. We have an on-prem solution, which Rogers likes. I don't. I would prefer to have my solution in the cloud like everybody else because you just have so much more control. But we had an on-prem solution and we integrated with it, no problem. And actually, I'm really sorry. I know we're out of time, but just quickly want to end with that then. So if an editor comes across an article where they see a tag and they don't like that tag, they can edit it in the metadata in the JAM. They don't have to go and look at any other system. So it's just like another added feature. And if they see that pattern developing over time, then they can let us know and we'll tweak it back.
Thank you so much, everybody. Feel free to stick around for Sony.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.